CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis and Roscosmos. Ukraine crisis and the question of Russia's space program, manned and unmanned into the future, all raising very good questions about what happens now. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. He's here to help us understand the unpacking of Roscosmos from commercial space. Bob, remind everyone OneWeb's hopes to deal with Roscosmos and what's happened. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, you know, the whole Ukraine war has impacted Russia's relationships with the world in numerous ways, much more seriously than when they invaded and took over Crimea back in the Obama administration. It's much more serious. And so, for example, OneWeb is a satellite constellation that is owned jointly by Indian investors and the UK government, and they want to put up a constellation of satellites to provide internet service to the world globally. And they're competing directly with SpaceX's Starlink, essentially. And they've done a bunch of launches, and they've gotten about two-thirds of their constellation launched. All of their launches have been pretty much on the Russians' Soyuz 2 rocket, mostly launching from Kazakhstan under Russian control. One or two launches took place from French Guiana. The launches are marketed and managed by Europe's Ariane Space Company, but the Russians are doing all the launches. Well, the Ukraine war and the sanctions had Russia make demands upon OneWeb, such as divesting the UK's share in the company. They refused, so Russia has now shut down all further launches of any OneWeb satellite from any of its facilities. OneWeb has scrapped all further launches from Russia. They are going to search aggressively for a different launch provider, either U.S., Japanese, or Indian. And they're working with Ariane Space because they've paid the Russians for some of those launches that they're not going to happen. And I think that because Ariane Space was the marketing firm that got that arranged, they're basically telling Ariane Space, you owe us for the launches, whether or not you get the money from Russia or not. So we'll see how that breaks out, but Russia is essentially out of the international commercial market. I'll give you another example. There are two South Korean satellites that are going to be launched on Russian rockets, and they're scheduled for the next late this year and early next year. And both of those are now threatened because the Koreans don't know if they're going to be able to go ahead with those launches. It's unclear whether they've shipped the satellites to Russia. I do not think they have. And if they haven't, they're probably thinking we have to maybe consider other launch providers as well. In addition, to show how Russia's are getting isolated in all this, or isolating itself, is that Germany has broken off all scientific partnerships with Russia. And the most evident example of that was they launched, in partnership with Russia, an X-ray telescope called Spectra-RG. And so the Russians and the Germans each had their own telescope instrument on Spectre. Well, the Germans have shut their instrument off. It's in orbit. It's running. They turned it off. They said, we're not going to work with the Russians. It probably had to go through Russian mission control for data downplay. I'm not even sure if that's true. But either way, they've turned their instrument off. They're saying they're not going to work with Russia on this stuff. And it does appear that Russia is losing all cooperation in all matters outside of Russia. And that, in the long run, impacts Russia, because I'll tell you, even if this war gets settled quickly, I can't think of any business company in the West that's going to be confident about hiring Russia for any launches. In the future, because how do you know they're not going to suddenly turn on you like this? They're now an unreliable business, and so they've really hurt themselves.
We need to mention our favorite temperamental Roscosmos boss, Dmitry Rogozin, is demanding Europe compensate him for the sanctions, including the Germans have to pay for shutting down Spectra-RG. This is rich, Bob. I like this.
Yeah, I mean, this is typical of Rogozin. I mean, you know, he made a joke about in one of his tweets about how the U.S. won't have launch capabilities to keep ISS in orbit, and they're going to just use broomsticks to do it. And Elon Musk has tweaked him a little bit on Twitter as well. And Rogozin has done that over the years, and it always backfires on him in the long run. From what I see for the U.S. and for OneWeb, these issues with Russia are merely a blip. As long as our governments do not interfere with private enterprise but keep encouraging the competition, the necessity is the mother of invention. There are going to be launch providers that will come forward that will replace the Russians very quickly, and we won't really have a serious problem. Even OneWeb won't have a serious problem.
Unsustainable. NASA's Inspector General looking at SLS Orion. What does that translate into? They're going to stop it?
Well, that's been, as I point out, I have an essay on Behind the Black, because this past week, NASA's Inspector General gave testimony to the House Science Committee, basically reporting on his Inspector General report that he released in November, and I had reported on that in November, John. And in November, he basically said this: the SLS rocket and Orion capsule programs are overpriced, behind schedule, unsustainable, and can't work. Well, he had the hearing, and he was very blunt in the hearing. And, you know, actual words out of a bureaucrat's mouth that are this harsh gets news. And so suddenly it was reported how he's talking about the whole program is unsustainable, how each launch of SLS is going to cost $4.1 billion. That's only a little less than what SpaceX spent to develop that Falcon Heavy. Just to develop it, but their launches are like $100 million each. But this is $4.1 billion per launch, and that could be argued it might even be twice that based on other numbers. And he's saying basically this can't work. And everything he's saying is things that I've been saying, John, since 2011. I included in my essay, people could listen to my report on your show back in 2013, where I said basically this is all a boondoggle, and what it really is faking a goal, which is going to the moon, for the purposes of justifying pork. And that's all SLS has ever been, and that's all it ever will be. And this IG report confirms that. Whether Congress will do anything different is unclear. The fact that they now have very competitive, low-cost commercial options, I think, means that SLS is facing an end without question. It'll probably get its one or two launches off, but at that point, Congress will no longer want to pay for it because it's too expensive. They'll go elsewhere.
Artemis Accords. Romania has signed. What is the significance of a NATO member, Romania?
Well, Romania is also one of three former members of the Soviet bloc that have signed the Artemis Accords. And Romania to do it on March 1st, I think, is interesting, right in the middle of the Ukraine war, the Russian invasion. These countries that have signed, Russia opposes the Artemis Accords, and I must review what those are. Artemis Accords were created by the Trump administration as a workaround to the outer space treaty's restrictions on private property in space. And what they are bilateral agreements between the U.S. and other countries where both countries commit to the idea of protecting private property in space. And by getting as many countries to sign off on that as possible, you're basically creating a faction of nations that are going to support private property in space. And we've now 16 nations have signed, but once again, three of those nations, including the Ukraine, and Romania, and Poland, former Soviet controlled territories, have signed this. So they're basically telling Russia, we're not going to go along with you, and we're willing to defy you in this, and we're going to support private enterprise. So that's what's significant, John.
Iran has a space program, sort of, and it's had a launch failure. Now, the puzzle here, Bob, is Iran's space program and its nuclear and its ballistic missile program are interchangeable. Is that correct? Is that the understanding?
It must always be understood that there is a difference between there is a difference between missiles and orbital rockets. The technologies have a great deal of overlap, so obviously if you develop rockets that can put satellites into orbit, you clearly will be developing the skills to develop ICBM missiles that can deliver nuclear weapons across the globe. They are overlap, but they are different. So if you're developing an orbital rocket for putting satellites into space, you're not directly developing ICBMs. So yeah, that must be understood. Now, Iran has been trying to develop an orbital rocket now for about a decade, and they've been pretty much a failure at doing so. Satellite photos this past week, before and after satellite photos, provided by two different commercial satellite companies, by the way, suggests that Iran had a launch failure on a launch pad where the rocket exploded in sometime last weekend. And that's about all we know. We don't know if the rocket appears to have been what they call the Zuljanai rocket, which uses solid rocket motors and has only been tested, as far as we know, once before on a single suborbital test flight. So we don't even know if this was going to be an orbital launch. It might have been just a suborbital test. We don't really know much. All we know is the pictures appear to show that something exploded on the launch pad. Iran is trying to develop orbital capabilities, which of course would give them surveillance capabilities, and it would also improve their missile capabilities, John, but it is different from missiles.
Commercial space. NASA is buying from SpaceX. What are they buying, Bob?
More manned flights. NASA had a contract with SpaceX totaling about $2.6 billion to provide the manned flights to ISS on Dragon. And now NASA, partly I think because Starliner from Boeing is delayed so much, NASA needs to commit to more flights. And so it bought three more flights from SpaceX. And so these three flights will go in, these are missions in 22 and 23. This is in addition to the flights that are presently scheduled. Some of this, and it's going to be for about $900 million, about $300 million per flight, which seems like a lot, but, you know, divided up by the number of seats, and that's about what the going rate is per seat. This money might have gone to Boeing if Boeing could get its act together and launch Starliner, but nope, they're not there yet, so SpaceX gets it.
Wallops Island, where is that, Bob? And this is Rocket Lab, a commercial space enterprise that is investing in Wallops Island. Where is it?
Wallops Island is in Virginia. It is the Mid-Atlantic spaceport. This is where Rocket Lab is trying to get its third launch pad going. It's got two down in New Zealand. It is also a place that Northrop Grumman launches its Antares rocket and Cygnus capsules from. And it was a NASA facility for most of the 20th century, and now it's trying to become a private spaceport. Well, Rocket Lab is going to build a launch pad and its a manufacturing facility for its new neutron rocket, and it's doing this at Wallops Island. This way they can build the rocket and go right to the launch pad at Wallops Island and take off from there. And the neutron rocket is designed to be reusable partly and competitive with SpaceX's Falcon 9. And so that's what it's doing. They're investing something like, what is it? Oh, God, I can't even find the number here. They're investing. It's going to be $250,000 square foot state-of-the-art complex to build this rocket in Wallops Island, Virginia, for launches there.
The complaint filed on behalf of Virgin Galactic to seek damages from its directors and officers also alleges that founder Richard Branson pocketed $301 million by dumping his shares while the stock price was artificially inflated. This whole story is a downer, Bob, but it's part of commercial space.
Yes, I mean, as I've insisted for years now, we have to with commercial space, private enterprise, you have success and failure, and you also have risk, and that risk also involves the stockholders. You're going to buy stock, you're taking a risk. And Virgin Galactic, and I've been saying this now for several years, long before they went public, was a very risky stock to buy, and anyone who bought it was taking great risks. And Richard Branson and the CEO who helped bring it made it go public, and I can't pronounce his name, I'm sorry, it's an Indian name with many syllables. And that CEO stepped down recently, but both him and Richard Branson sold their stock when the stock was very, very high about the time of the one and only suborbital manned passenger flight of Virgin Galactic. And they're now being sued by stockholders who said that they pumped and dumped their shares, and they got the price up by keeping bad information that they knew about secret, which they're not allowed to do. And now they're being sued. And so we'll see how that goes, you know.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're headed to exploring our favorite sun. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.